Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Ayin Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Hey. You will notice a Mishnah, a new Mishnah in the middle of the Omid. Before we begin the text, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, which reads, Machlokes Tanoim, a Tanaic controversy, im Mo'il Haforas Nedarim Shabal, is there effectiveness to the annulment of a husband's, on the part of a husband of his wife's vows, Al Nidre Ishto Me'rosh, Lefnei She Bichlal Tidor, before she even utters a vow. Will his annulment be effective? The Mishnah. Ho'imer li'ishto. A man says to his wife, Kol hanedorim shetoduri mikan v'ad ad she'ovoi mimokoim ploni. All the vows that you make from now until I return from such and such a place. Harei hein kayomin. Here he attempts to substantiate her vows, to confirm her vows. These are vows that she hasn't even made yet. Lo omar klum. He has said nothing. In other words, something that hasn't been uttered yet, the substantiation of that is of no value. Harehe muforin. If, however, he declares null and void all vows that she will make from the time that he leaves until the time he comes back from that place, Reb Lezer says it's effective. It's an effective annulment. And Reb Chachomim Omrim Eino Mufar. It's ineffective. Omer Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer, in arguing his point, says Im Hofer Nedarim Shebo Lichlal Isur. If a person is able to annul vows that have already become a reality, the violation of them would be a prohibition, would be a sin. Lo yofer nedarim shelo bo lichlal iser. Should it not be all the more so that he's able to annul vows that haven't come to the realm of prohibition, that haven't come to existence? Omru lo. So the rabbonon, the chachamim, responded. Harehu omer. The pasuk says, "Isha yekimenu veisha yefirenu." That's the quote from the pasuk. Es shevo lichlal hakem. That which has come to be able to be substantiated, namely, it's a real vow, bo lichlal hafer, it comes to being subject to annulment. Lo bo lichlal hakem, vows that have not come to the possibility of being confirmed, namely, they haven't been uttered yet. Lo bo lichlal hafer, likewise, do not come to the realm of being annulled. So as far as vows that haven't been uttered yet and their ability of being substantiated, that everyone agrees doesn't exist. The Gemara focuses on Rabbi Eliezer. And before we read the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei topic heading. And this topic heading also indicates that it's a long topic. It'll take us till Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis. So that even though we are learning within the context of Daf Yomi Shiurim, as those who have been listening to our Shiurim throughout this Masichta have noted, we've spilled over quite often from the Daf Yomi quota. So here too, in order to complete the trend of thought that we will be exposed to, it's to our benefit to complete the sugya without breaking it in the middle, and that will take us to Daf Ayin Vav Omid Beis. Now, what have we written under our topic heading? Biur Shitas Rabbi Elazar. We're going to analyze, clarify the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, the Amar Diyoch Lahofir Nidre Ishto Meirosh, that a person, a husband, can issue a vow annulment from the outset before she vows. Hayim Nidorim Elu, the vows that she eventually utters, Cholen Ubatelim, is it that they take hold and then are immediately nullified? Only lo cholei klal, or is it so that nothing takes hold to begin with? Sounds like an academic analysis. Is there any practical application of this? And yes, there is. Nafkamina lahatpis bahen. The practical application or difference between these two points of analysis is: is there a possibility of paralleling or copying your vow and basing it on this lady's vow? It's true that the lady's vow is going to be annulled, but if I try to base my vow on what she said, if what she said takes hold and is then nullified, so there was what to take hold on. There was a vow for me to copy or to base myself on. However, if you take the other approach, that nothing even materializes by way of her vow because of the husband's initial nullification, so then my vowing and patterning it after hers, I have nothing to pattern it after. Her vow never materializes. Now we turn to the Gemara. We also have a long question marking. Take note of that. Ibai Eloho. Le Rebbe Elezer, according to the Taner Belezer, Mechal Cholen Ubetelin, is it such that her vow materializes? Chal means it starts, but it's also nullified. Immediately nullified. O Dilma Lo Cholen Klal, or is the analysis that nothing gets started to begin with. In other words, the nullification that he uttered at the outset prevents any vow from even materializing. Lamai nafkamina, what difference does it make between these two points of analysis? We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Kagon de atvis achrina behodein nidra. If someone else, some outsider came and accepted upon himself a vow like hers. We look at Rashi at the top line. Imagine the woman's vow was accepting Nazirus upon herself, the vow whereby one abstains from wine and grape products with other restrictions that go along with that type of vow. The Omra, and she said, Hareini Nazira. And in her vowing, she says, I am going to be a Nazir. V'shama ish achir, and some other person heard that. V'yomer v'ani kamokach, I likewise. The Gemara continues at the end of the top line. I'amris cholin, if you say that her vow takes hold, it materializes, though an instant later it's nullified because of the husband's initial nullification. So tfisuta, havya tfisuta, that his Nazirus declaration takes hold because it's patterning a vow that she took that materialized, that became a reality, albeit for a moment. Yamris lochol, and if you say that her vow as a result of the husband's initial nullification doesn't even materialize, lo iko mashosha. There's no substance for him, this outsider, to latch on in his attempt to copy her nazirus. My. So that, what is the, how do we settle this? What's the proper analysis? You'll notice a marking scheme on the side of the world under the mivneh heading. We explain that you have triangles that are explained as being a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take style Gemara. The numbering that you see features the nisyonos, the toshma, or the nisyonos lechiach, the ravzer lochayli klal. These are attempts to show that the vow that she utters does not materialize whatsoever. when you encounter the inverted triangle, that is, we call dechios, so rejection of whatever was attempted. The Gemara. Toshma. We're trying to figure out Rabbi Eliezer's opinion regarding the status of the vows that the lady makes in light of the initial husband nullification. So, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Im Hofer Nidorim Shebol Lechlal Isur, Rabbi Eliezer was arguing that the initial nullification works by virtue of the fact that Nidorim that have already materialized can be undone through Hafora. So Lo Yofer, should he not be able, Lo Yofer Nidorim Shebol Lechlal Isur, should it not be that a husband should likewise or certainly have the power to annul vows that haven't come to restriction altogether? Well, from that phrasing, notice we dashed underlined shelo bol lechval isur shmamina lo chol, and this would indicate that nothing even materializes. The Gemara rejects this. Mi kotani, does it say she'enon bo'in, that do not come? If it had said she'enon bo'in, so then you're right that it would, they do not come into existence even when she vows. But that's not what it says. Shelo bo'u kotoni. The language is shelo bo'u. Adayin lo bo'u. Rashi explains. Shalobo Kotoni Mashma de Adayan Lo Nodra. That language indicates she hasn't even vowed yet. Avalich Shiavok Shitido Akatiti Boyaloch. However, when she actually vows, I still will ask I Chaili Ilo. There's still room for asking the original question. In other words, from the quote here from our Mishnah, you don't shed light on our question. Because the Mishnah is describing a situation because of the language shelo bo, meaning she hasn't even uttered the vow yet. When she utters the vow, that remains unclear what happens. Does something take hold and is then nullified, or nothing gets started to begin with? Toshma, Omar Lohen, Rabbi Eliezer. We have a double underline marking on the side. These are explained as hadgoshois lehokel al hakriyav haseder. These are a marking emphasis that you see here and you see later on, simply to make the reading easier, so that you know what to focus on. So let's see. Rabbi Eliezer argues as follows: Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Ma b'mokoyim she'ein mefer nidre atzmo mishenodar mefer nidre atzmo ad shelo yodur. Mind you, in a case where a person already vowed, he cannot annul his vows. In other words, a person has no right, is not allowed to annul his own vows. Regarding one's own vows, the Pasuk says, Lo yachel dvoro. He shall not violate his vow. But achirim ochalelo, others can. That's the idea of a person approaching a Torah scholar for the vow to be released. So, an immediate context, a first-person context, a person cannot undo his own vows. However, he can announce ahead of time, before he vows, that he doesn't want his vows to take hold. This was explained earlier in the Masechta on Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis regarding a person getting up on Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, and saying, all vows that I make henceforth should not be binding. So that takes place. Mokoim shemefer nidrei ishto mishetidor. In a case of a husband and wife, where a husband can annul his wife's vows, eno din shiofer nidrei ishto ad shelo tidor. So all the more so, he should be able to annul the vows of his wife even before she utters them. My love, the ishto dumya delay. Are we not then to compare whatever we're saying regarding his wife to what we know about the man himself? Mahu dolo chaylin, just like with regard to a person himself, if he arises at the beginning of the year and says, all vows that I make during this year should not have validity. It should not have any substance. We know that, in a set, in effect, the vows don't get started at all. So too, with regard to the wife, the vows that she would utter do not get started at all. So this would be the attempt to prove one of the two sides of analysis. And as you can see, we've dashed, underlined, after we scribbled it, afishto, so inami lo chaylin, nothing even begins. And once again, why is that? Because we're paralleling the wife to the man himself. Lo, that is not conclusive. Ha kidi isa. With each one on its own. With regard to a man's own vows, his pre-nullification, in fact, prevents them from even getting started. However, with regard to a man and his pre-nullification of his wife's vows, there they might very well get started, but and are then immediately absolved. So this is inconclusive. We continue then. Toshma, Omru lo l'Rebbe Elazar. The Chachomim that disagree with Rebbe Elazar argue, as we will see in this Tanaic source, an argument. But what we have to pay attention to is from the way they argue to him, we'll then understand what his original position was. So we have to be able to then read beyond what the source itself is saying and read into what had they heard Rebbe Elazar saying in order to come to a conclusion. Of course, with our Mark Gemoras, you can jump ahead and see the dashed underlining at the bottom line where Shmami Nolo Chaylin, that this is just another attempt, like we've seen till now, to show that according to Rebbe Elazar, the advanced nullification of the husband prevents the woman's, the wife's vows from even materializing. So now, let's see what they said to him. They said as follows, and they're going to be arguing from here, and we're going to see on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph as well, from, we'll call it, outside sources. But it's what we will see is a certain way of looking at things when you're dealing with preventive measures. Here we're going to deal with the topic of immersion in a mikveh, in a mikveh is the ritual pool in which after immersion, so that which was defiled then becomes purified. What are we to learn from mikveh? As follows. Uma mikveh Shemale es hatmei mitumason, a mikveh which enables he who has been defiled to, or items that have been defiled to become purified, to rise from their level of defilement and leave it, and yet ein matzil al hatahurim mi litamei. If someone is already tohor, he's an undefiled individual, and he goes into the mikveh with the hope of the mikveh now providing him with tuma resistance. Well, it doesn't work. That doesn't help. It's true that a mikveh is effective in removing defilement that already exists, but it doesn't work to prevent defilement from setting upon a person that is currently tohar. So that's as far as a mikveh with its limitations. In other words, a mikveh does have purification powers, but there is some limitation. Adam she'ein ma'ale es hatmei mitum asan. A person, and maybe we have to share a word of background here. There's a concept of vessels or substances that are made into vessels that never become tomei. Amongst those items are dung, glolim, feces. That substance, waste, can be fashioned into vessels. It's called clay glolim. And clay glolim do not become tomei. They're tumor resistant. what we're going to describe here is a person takes a vessel, in this case a ring, a small item, a small metal item. It's something that is subject to defilement. And he swallows it while it's tome, and it comes out his digestive tract at the other end. We don't view the ring as kli glolim. We don't view the ring as something that's now tohor because it went through his digestive tract. In other words, a person is not a human rituarium. Let's read this in the text. Odom she'ein male es hatmein mitumason. A person does not purify or undefile that which has already been defiled on the grounds of it being considered not a ring anymore, but klei glolim. Eino din hu shelo yatzil ala tahorim litame. All the more so, the person would not be able to swallow a tohor ring and have it come out the other end and claim that this is a kli glolim. Now this is what the Chachomim were arguing to Rabbi Elazar, in other words, showing that the mikveh, not only the mikveh, but a mikveh and certainly a person do not have the capacity of building in a preemptive form of purification, namely, or built-in tumah resistance. Well, so if that's what they were arguing against Rebbe Elazar, what was Rebbe Elazar apparently saying with regard to the preemptive powers a husband has vis-a-vis his wife's vows? So Shema Mino, through the eyes of the Chomim, we can conclude what Rebbe Elazar must have been saying. He was saying Lo Chaylin, that in fact when a person issues an initial annulment, that the vow does not get off the ground. This you can see explained in the Rosh commentary. Second line from the bottom, Shema Mino Lo Chayli Midemaisi Rabbonon Veloza Raya Mimikveh, from the fact that the Rabbonon were bringing a proof to their position from the Mikveh, She'eino Matzel Torah Milikabel Tumah, that the Mikveh, though it's capable of purifying that which is defiled, but it cannot build in defilement resistance. Michal the Shamino and Leila Rebbe Elazar. It must be that they heard Rebbe Elazar saying, "Davi Omar ben Edorim, Shabal Mefer Lo Leinyan Zeh Shelo Yochulu Klal." Rebbe Elazar was taking the position that a husband's annulment of the wife's vows ahead of time prevents them from beginning altogether. Vaho Maisi Rayon is on that point that they brought proof mi mikveh from the case of the rituarium, the afagav the moil the tumah shavra, even though the mikveh purifies that which had already become defiled. Eino moil the tumah shasido lovo shelo tochu lalov. It's not effective against tumah that eventually will appear, will come, that it shouldn't take hold. For our purposes, though, what we see from this is the position of Rebbe Elazar, that the advanced annulment makes it such that the vows do not even materialize. The wife's vows don't even materialize. Well, that having been said, we continue with a challenge. Ema Seifon. That's why you see an inverted triangle. What does it say in the Seifa of the Mikveh source? It says, Omru lo Rebbe Elazar, the Chachomim said to Rebbe Elazar, Im matbilim kli tomei li toher. If we can immerse a vessel in a mikveh that has already become tomei, and the immersion results in its purification, Yatbilu kli tor l'cheshe yitma li toher. Would you think that you can immerse a currently pure, undefiled vessel so that when it becomes tomei, it shall then become purified? So Once again, as we saw before, this is what the Chachamim were saying in opposition to Rebbe Elazar. So what must have been Rebbe Elazar's position when he was arguing about the advanced nullification? So if you keep things parallel to this, we call the Kli source. That's why we have a diamond around the word Kli, so we can refer to it as the Kli source. What must Rebbe Elazar have been saying? Well, just like they were saying that immersion cannot prevent a vessel from when it does become Tameh to then become Tahor. So what was Rebbe Elazar saying about the vows? That the annulment that the husband makes is such that when the wife utters the vow and it materializes, it then becomes nullified. Oh, so Shema Amino, from this we conclude that Chaylin, and now we have a real problem on our hands. We've got a stira between the Reisha, from which we concluded that Rebbe Elazar holds that the vows of the woman don't even get off the ground in light of the husband's initial annulment. And in the Seifa, we see that the vow would materialize. In other words, the vow takes hold, but is then instantly absolved. So what do we do with this? We have a stira between the Reisha and the Seifa. The Gemara answers that it's not a stira per se. Amri, Rabbonon lo kaimi lohin b'taimei de Rebbe Elazar. What we're seeing here is simply that the Rabbonon were not familiar. They didn't understand Rebbe Elazar's opinion. So you notice that in both of these Tanai quotes, they begin with Omru lo. They, the Rabbonon, spoke to Rebbe Elazar, and the problem here is not in Rebbe Elazar, but rather it's from the Rabbonon standpoint that they did not understand what Rebbe Elazar was saying. So we read again from the third line, from the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, Rabbonon lo kaimi lohan b'taim de Rebbe Elazar v'hochi ko amri le, and thusly the Rabbonon were saying to Rebbe Eliezer, my sviroloch, what do you hold with regard to husband's advanced annulment of wife's vows? E sviroloch, if you have take the position the chaylin b'taylin that they materialize, but thanks to his initial annulment, they are nullified. Well, if that's your analysis, teve kli tiyuvtoch, let the instance of the Kli that we featured at the top of this omit, you can see Kli in the diamond, that will be a refutation, namely that the advanced Hafara is not going to be effective. Just like you can see with the immersion of the Kli in a mikveh, with the anticipated hope of when it does become Tameh, should become Tor, which is ridiculous. That doesn't happen. And just like you would concede that that doesn't happen with the vessel, so too you should concede to our position that the advanced annulment is ineffective. And e lo sviroloch the chaylin, the Rabbonon said to Rebbe Elazar, and if you don't hold that they materialize, in other words, if your position is that as a result of the advanced nullification, the vow that the woman utters doesn't materialize whatsoever, so tehevei mikveh tiyuvtoch. So then, let the case of mikveh be a refutation. Namely, that we saw in the case of mikveh, there is no chance of immersing to prevent tumah from ever setting in the first place. That having been said, we haven't concluded then with any degree of clarity as to what exactly is Rebbe Elazar's position regarding the husband's advanced annulment of wife's vows. Toshma, Omar Lahen, Rebbe Elazar. So the Rebbe Elazar said to the Rabbonon, Umaz Royim Tamein. Mind you, with regard to seeds like, imagine, wheat grains that became Tomei. Kevon Shezoran Bekarka Toran. When you take Tomei seeds and plant them in the ground, the seeds lose their Tuma. They're no longer Tomei. Zruin V'oimdin Lo Kol Shekein. Things that are already planted, that are attached to the ground, all the more so, they, if someone Tomei, let's say, touches a plant that's a growing, that's attached and growing from the ground, all the more so, they will not become Tomei. So, what, and Reb Lozer is using the seeds as an analogy to what he holds by, with regard to the husband's advanced annulment. Shma mina, so from here we see, lo chaylin, they don't, the vows don't even begin, they don't even materialize, all as a result of the husband's advanced annulment. So up till now, we've seen the, we'll call the method of analysis of argument that Reb Elozer was using against the Rabbonan. The Gemara asks, now, there's refocusing now, and we focus our attention on the Rabbonan. Rabbonan lo darshi kal v'chomer. Do the Rabbonan not argue using kal v'chomer logic like this, like Reb Elozer did? And thereby, they should arrive at the same conclusion, that a man is able to annul wife's vows from the outset. Just to refresh our memories, Reb Elozer in the Mishnah argued that a man is able to annul before she utters the vow, and the annulment is effective. Up till now, we were simply analyzing what exactly happens when the woman utters the vow. But as far as the basic point, Reb Elozer said, an advanced annulment is effective. The Rabbanan said an advanced annulment is not effective. But is it not so that the Rabbanan, and again, once again, we're going to be referring to a totally unrelated topic, but what we're looking at is the method of logic. And since we see elsewhere the Rabbanan employ a method of logic similar to that of Reb Elozer over here, should they not have come to the same conclusion? Namely, that advanced annulment is effective? So let's continue in the Gemara. V'hatanya, have we not seen the following point argued by the Rabbanan? And this topic deals with what's called an amo evriya. A girl who the Torah says can be sold into a form of obligatory servitude by her father. And the Torah rule states that a Jewish girl can be sold into servitude up till age 12. When the girl reaches the age of Na'arus, age 12, she automatically is released. She leaves her, we'll say, employer, if you will, her master. That's basic information. So now let's read the source. Yochol Yimkor Odom Es Bito Kishi Nara. Could it be that a father has the power, has the right to sell his daughter after age 12? Nara is the age of a girl between 12 and 12 and a half. So after she reaches age 12, can a father sell his daughter? Amris, kal v'chomer. With kal v'chomer logic, you will see that he cannot do that. Mechura kvar yotza, a girl who had been sold as a minor, she'd already been sold. Yotza means she leaves the servitude at age 12. Eino mechura, a girl who had not been sold into servitude prior to age 12. Eino din shelo timocher, all the more so. she cannot be sold initially after age 12 into servitude. And we look at Rashi together. Second line under the Gemara text, Eino din shelo timocher, certainly he will not be able to sell her. Liachar shehi kshinara, after she reaches the age of narus mishum haitaimo, because of this reason, shehi mechuru kvar yotso achshav, mind you, a girl that's already been sold prior to this, she now leaves servitude at this age. All the more so, a girl who hasn't been sold to begin with by this age cannot be sold into servitude. So af kanami yehei yochol hafer la kodim shenotra. So to, if we just apply this kind of logic to the vows, the husband should certainly be able to issue an advanced annulment. Hayol v'yofen koychei, he has all the more strength here. Shafil lachar shenotra v'gil chal yisri yochol hafer. Where, mind you, a woman vowed, and the vow takes hold, and afterwards the husband can come along and annul it. All the more so if she hasn't vowed whatsoever, certainly he should be able to issue an advance effective annulment. So the question is very simply, why did the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Eliezer regarding husband's power in advanced vow annulment? The Gemara answers at the top of Omid Beis, of Ayin Vav Omid Beis, in Yes, Ba'alma Dar Shika V'chomer, we can't deny that in general the Rabbanan do accept this type of Kal V'chomer logic. V'shayni Hocha, but here in the case of vows and annulment, it's different. Yomar Kro, because here we're bound by a verse, a scriptural reference, which says, Yomar Kro, the Pasuk says, Isha Yekemenu V'isha Yefeyanu, her husband can substantiate and her husband can annul. As Shebolachal Hokeim, Bolachal Hofer. Those kind of vows that have come to the point that they can be substantiated, being established by her husband seconding the motion, so to speak, only those kind of vows, Bolachal Hofer, because of the juxtaposition in the Pasuk of Yekimenu Hakoma substantiating, Yefirenu is the annulment. So only those kind of vows that have come to be able to be substantiated, and that we established earlier, are only vows that have been actually uttered. So only actually uttered vows can be annulled. As Shelo Bolachal Hofer, vows that she hasn't yet made, which we already saw everyone accepts, cannot be substantiated, can't have advanced substantiation of her vows. Lo bo lechal hofer, so those kind of vows, i.e. vows that have not been uttered yet, they cannot be annulled. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.